I know what some people are saying. Thanks God there is no marriage in heaven. I just want to escape from that one. Why, first of all, why there is no marriage in heaven? Because something bad? No. It is because marriage is the sign of heaven. As God created man, male and female, He created them so that man can give himself to the woman and woman herself to the man, and their life, their union can produce new life, new person. So God is Trinity, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So that Father give himself to the Son, Son give himself to the Father, and their love between them becomes new person, Holy Spirit. As God is communion of persons united in love, He created man to be communion of persons united in love. And the union between man and woman here on earth, if lived according to the will of God, is direct representation of heaven. You may believe it or not. For some think my marriage is more like hell. Well, if you don't live it according to the will of God. But you may think for a moment, don't do this alone at home, okay? We do it just here. For a moment, think with the mind of the devil. If you are the devil, what you would attack? The family. You would attack that what is most sacred. What is most attacked now is the family. It shows it is most sacred because it directly shows here the presence of God here on earth. It's a reflection of divine life here on earth. And for that reason, the devil will attack family. Whenever possible. So why there is no marriage in heaven? If the family is so sacred, if the marriage is so sacred, why there is no marriage in heaven? Because marriage is sign for heaven. If you go to Chicago, as long as you are going to Chicago, you want to see signs for Chicago, okay? When you arrive there, you would be confused if in Chicago you find a sign pointing Chicago there. You would think I didn't arrive. So there is no need for signs of heaven, signs of God's presence in heaven, because that's what heaven is. Okay, that was theoretical, but was needed. But we came to the point where we see that family is attacked. Let's connect with the first reading. What happened in the first reading is attack on the every element of Jewish faith. They attack the faith. They want to destroy the faith. Why? Because faith takes away the fear. You can see in these young people who died without fear. Faith is able to take away your fear. What is opposite of faith is fear. What is opposite of fear is faith. You see in all the saints, they can live without fear and die without fear. You can see in all the wicked people, my favorite example from the Bible, King Herod. King Herod in Jerusalem. There is little baby in Bethlehem. He may take my kingdom. Little baby is threat for him. He is afraid of little baby. He has army, he has bodyguards, and this little baby is threat for him. You see, when you are without God, even the smallest thing is threat for you. If you are with God, even the guy with the sword is not threat for you. I'm always impressed. I will not repeat what was in the first reading, except to see what I'm impressed in the first reading is how this young man, he says, one of the sons says, I received these hands from heaven, and for the sake of heaven's law, I despise them, because I will receive new one, the real one. This one are just foreshadowed, just temporary ones. The real one I will receive in the resurrection, which nobody can cut off, which are permanently mine, once I'm united with God. What impresses me there, he says, I despise this for the sake of God's law. I could never hope in resurrection for the sake of the law, but for the sake of the love of Christ, because Christ is a person who loves you. Relationship with that person gives you faith, gives you joy. Who can resurrect from the dead? If I go around, I guess I would get in 80% of answers would be good person can resurrect from the dead. Wrong! Wrong. I have to repeat it. I know more. The one who has a relationship with Jesus Christ can rise from the dead. Yes, true. If you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that will transform you, and you will, in many aspects of your life, be what people call good. But that's not, being good is not what brings you to heaven. You understand? Relationship with Jesus Christ, and that will for sure transform your life, will make you, but even not good. I don't think when you think about St. Francis that you think about St. Francis, oh, he was a good man. Who would say that? Maybe of St. Francis you can say he was crazy, he was weird, but man, he had faith. You understand? Goodness is not what is essential for the saints. Yes, that's the earthly appearance reduced to something much, something what we try to achieve with our own strength is goodness. That's not enough. We have to be transformed by the presence of Christ in our life. That's because I know I told you, and I know you all forget it, so I have to repeat you again. What is eternal life? Eternal, and that's from John chapter 17, verse 3. I'm not inventing it. Definition of eternal life is in the gospel. Eternal life is to know God and Christ whom He has sent. Let me repeat that. So I have to repeat it only 600 times more and you will remember it, okay? Eternal life is to know God and Christ whom He has sent. Not to know about God, but to know Him, to have experience of His love, to have the experience of a relationship with Him. That is eternal life. And we can experience that eternal life even before we die. Actually, after you die, it's very difficult to start some relationship. This relationship has to start before we die, and then you experience eternal life. That's the very important point. In the Gospel of Mark, same parable, same story in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus is added one more sentence to Jesus' answer, which I like very much. Jesus starts his answer to Sadducees by saying, "You ask this question because you don't know the scripture and you do not know the power of God." We are often confused. Why? Because we don't know the scripture and we don't know the power of God. And I think the Sadducees and Pharisees and many people of today's age have the same heresy, which I call just this heresy. Let's say, priest is just a man, nothing else, just what you can see. So, why to confess to a priest? Yeah, priest is a man, and often sinful man. Let's be clear about that. It's not by being priest, nobody becomes holy. But, as long as priest acts in his priestly ministry, it is Christ acting to him. Church is just organization. Just organ, you see, always reducing something great, greater reality to something what can fit in my little mind. And not allowing that reality help me to transcend my littleness, my smallness, and become greater. If I see reality which Christ wants to present me, it will help me to transcend my human reality and to live a spiritual being directed toward heaven. If I say man is only just a bunch of chemicals, and actually I read recently one materialist said that a few hundred years ago there existed a group of chemicals called Shakespeare. Yeah, you can reduce Shakespeare to just a bunch of chemicals, I guess. I was a chemical engineer, I never heard about chemicals writing any book. There is something more. And this refusal to recognize something more is probably voluntary blindness. I told you, and as happened in the first reading, that they want to take away the faith by changing the customs, by forcing people to not to practice their faith. Why? So they can use the fear to control the people. I was in communist country. in Yugoslavia. They did the same. In the school we were teaching, we were learning why faith is wrong. Faith is just opium for the people. Did you ever hear that? Yeah, that's what we were learning in elementary school. I was learning that. And I believed that until I didn't see there is something more. And why they want to destroy faith? Because if people don't have faith, people are easily ruled by fear. Then dictators can rule the people. They need to destroy the faith. And don't think that happened only in the time of Maccabees. It's happening today in the small ways, little by little. They are cooking us, putting water warmer and warmer. Ah, you should not say Happy Easter. No, 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 no. If you believe in Easter, you would believe in resurrection. And if you believe in resurrection, you would not have fear. You should not say Happy Easter. I tell you, if somebody tells me Happy Holidays, I usually ask, which holidays? Easter. Oh, but you can say it. You see, you know which holidays. You can say in Walmart, Happy Holidays, I don't mind. But don't tell to me, don't tell to us in the church. This culture puts a lot of effort to change our way of thinking, to think like there is no God. We have to put some effort to stop that. Don't tell me, oh, I work in Walmart, I'm accustomed to that. No. They were putting effort to teach you to forget Easter. Now you put effort not to forget it. It's as simple as that. It's very important. It's not believing in resurrection as some idea. I told you my niece tried to commit suicide. I was 30 years old. At that point, I was in my last days as atheist. That was what changed, what led me to the church, her attempt to suicide. And I still remember when I was standing, I received a phone call that my niece tried to commit suicide and she survived. And I tell you, I did love my niece. I visited her every day in hospital. Her father, my brother, died at the same age when I lost my father. I wanted to be there as father for her. I did love her, okay? But when I received the phone call that she tried to commit suicide and she survived, you know what was my first thought? And I'm not proud of it. My first thought was, I was sorry that she didn't succeed. It would be easier for me. I was 30 years old. I have short time to get my happiness. You understand? I have just few years to get some happiness for myself. You see, if you believe that this is the only life which you have, as I was, that automatically make you selfish. There is no way out of it. That's the only life you have. You have to grab some happiness here and now. I don't know how you would feel to be on the boat in the middle of the ocean lost with an atheist who thinks that you are just a bunch of chemicals, or in that case, piece of meat which drinks his water. Can atheists be good? Yes, I was atheist. Atheists can be very good people as long as everything is good. When their life is threatened, when they come to the point and they realize that's the only life I have and I have to get something out of that life, you might become a piece of meat for that atheist. You understand? Because in atheistic world, evolutionary world, the strongest one survive. If you are on the boat, I hope you are stronger than atheist. So, the knowledge that we don't live only for that life, it's not a matter of hoping for pie in the sky, but to have this assurance that I don't live only for life here on this earth, that I'm not existing to become food for worms, but there is something more. That knowledge transforms the way how we live, absolutely transforms. I told you, and I will again be too long, sorry. I told you this example a couple of times about two people going to Paris. One goes to Paris and he knows as he arrived there he will be guillotined. But there, and for the sake of the story I have to lie, okay? So French are very good people, very nice people, I had to lie, okay? And they treat him nicely on the way to Paris. They put him in comfortable coach. He arrives there, and they ask him, "What is your last wish? Do you want champagne or something?" They give him the best meal ever for his last wish. And when he ate, gulp last piece of that deal, go to the guillotine. We'll cut off your head. Do you think he enjoys his last dish? Do you think he enjoys his comfortable coach? No. If that's you are heading just to death, you don't enjoy anything in this life. But the other guy, he goes to Paris to become a king, and he goes on dusty roads, hungry and thirsty, he has to hide, and he doesn't mind all the problems, because he knows the goal of the end of his journey is to become a king. If we know that the end of our life is to be kings with Christ, all the problems of this earth seems little. If we think that at the end of my journey, I will be just put in the grave and eaten by the worms, then all the happiness here doesn't matter. Make sense? But it's not important that you, it's not enough that you hear from the priest telling you, "We don't die, we rise again." You have to experience the union with Christ already now. You have to experience the love of Christ already now. To experience this life which comes from Christ already now. The first Christians, the Romans, and many other Christians, many other people have been impressed with the courage of Christians. Not that Christians have some hormone to take away the fear. Not that they had some drug which take. They had the experience of eternal life. My favorite story is of St. Agnes. She was about 12, 13-year-old girl. And according to the accounts of her martyrdom, they tried to kill her 2 times and always failed. Probably God was protecting her. And finally, they decided to cut off her head. And the executioner was trembling. That is amazing. This Roman Empire lived and controlled people by terror. That's why they invented crucifixion, to put people on the cross to die there for days in agony. So if you cross us, you are going to go on the cross, pun intended. So people would be filled with terror, and you can easily control them. Nobody would dare to say anything against emperor, against empire, and so on. But this army, this cruel army, these cruel soldiers, the one with the sword who was there to cut off the head of St. Agnes, he was trembling when he saw this little 13-year-old girl without fear. She had to hold his hand to encourage him. "Don't worry, I'm going with God." How is that possible? Because she has the experience of eternal life already now, because she has the union with Christ. There was not so long ago, I'll give you probably just one more example. Remember ISIS killed, I think, 21 people. And of 21, 20 were Christians. They were offered possibility to deny Christ and they would save their life. And they did not. And they cut off their heads one by one. Last one was guy from Chad, and he was not a Christian. And when he was asked about his faith, he said, "I believe the same God which they believe." He was not Christian. But their example gave them conviction. They would not be able to give their life for nothing, for idea, for the concept. They had the experience of God who is present to them. They had, and on this conviction, on this assurance of their faith, he also gave his life. Our life is for something greater. Problem is, if we leave this coming in the church, it's just 1 hour in the church, just one thing, one more thing I have to do, or this encounter with living and eternal God. Do I put God in my schedule between the leaving the kids, taking the kids for the soccer and going to golf, and there is a short time for God? Or God comes first in and everything else is arranged about that. If God wants to meet us, He wants to give us life. But that's possible if we put God as most important part of our life. Then we receive life from Him.